Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name, O Lord, our Creator. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord, for you loved us first.
Amen.
You have taught us what is the true love.
Yes, Lord,
you have blessed us to experience what is agape. Yes. For, Lord, if we lack charity, we are nothing, O Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day in our life. Thank you, Lord, for the day of fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for the day where the congregation of the Lord gathered for the glory of thy name.
Amen.
For the leading of your spirit, O Lord. Lord, we pray and we ask thy guidance, thy divine presence, O Lord, to soak us, to shield us, to surround us, to mold us, to perfect us, that we all live a life that is worthy of thy calling.
Amen.
For you have called all of us into the marvelous light. But Lord, we enter into the Holy of Holies by the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we thank you, Lord, for the blood that was shed on Calvary.
Amen.
Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for God so loved the world. You gave his only Son, the begotten Son, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the Prince of Life, our Master,
Amen.
Our Redeemer, our Deliverer, the Breaker of the Chains, Emmanuel, for God is with us. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Be with us, O Lord, today. Anoint every one of us, O Lord,
Amen.
According to your will and pleasure.
Amen.
You are our portion. And Lord, we pray, come and feed us, that we eat the bread of life, the manna that you had purposed for today, and the drink that you had reserved for all of us to drink today. I pray for the Spirit of God to soak all of us in the presence of God, that we continue to prepare ourselves as a bride of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's name, I surrender every one of us, myself, in body, in soul, and spirit. May you bless us, guide us, speak to us, anoint our ears to listen, anoint our minds to perceive, anoint our hearts to receive, that we do what we hear, and we live what was shown, for you are the life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom, my dear brethren. Greetings to you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for today. We all gathered. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Psalm, chapter 8. The book of Psalm, chapter 8. Verse 1, and we read verse 9. Chapter 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above thy heavens. Last Sunday, we meditated on the book of Ezekiel, how the prince of Tyrus set his heart, lifted up his heart as the heart of God. And now book of Psalm, David sings and he says, the Lord's name is excellent than any other name upon earth, and he has set his glory above the heavens. If we think the glory of the Lord is in heaven, the Lord says, the glory of the excellent name of the Lord is far above the heavens, because he makes the place heaven, because the trail of his garment fills the temple. Wherever he is, the presence of God makes the place what it is. Excellent name. And we remember how the New Testament called Jesus Christ, when the Lord resurrected, glorified Jesus Christ, he received an excellent name and he received an excellent ministry. The ministry of Jesus Christ was called excellent. And the ministry of apostles followed the excellency of Jesus Christ. And the Lord said he received an excellent name. But in the book of Psalm, there was no name Jesus Christ. But Son of David, he glorifies God who is spirit and says that, thou art in heaven, thy name is excellent. Above anything, above heavens, everything. Now, if you ask David, what is his name? What David would say? What was the name in the Old Testament of God? I am. everything else spoken by people. El Shaddai, Elohim, Yehovah Rapha, Yehovah Shalom, Yehovah Neshama, Yehovah Nisi. All the Hebrew names are spoken by servants of God to glorify God. But the Lord introduced to Moses himself, when Moses asked, what is your name? And the Lord says, I am who I am. Because name cannot define him. Anything cannot contain him, because he is the self-sufficient one, the one who exists. He is, he was, he is to come. And now David says, that name, whatever the name that identifies God, the Creator, is excellent. Where can we see the magnitude of what David said? Book of Revelation. Let's turn over scripture. Book of Revelation. Chapter 19. Verse 12. Revelation chapter 19 verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. No man knew but he himself. And the name was written. No man knew but he himself. Let's come back to Psalm chapter 8. Verse 9. The chapter started by saying, his name is excellent. He is the first, he is the last, he is the beginning, and he is the end. So let's look at the end of the chapter, which is verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all earth. So he began by saying how excellent. He ended by saying how excellent. Like how we are all journeying through this wilderness, not as wanderers, but as sojourners, that tells all of us the Lord is changing us from glory to glory. And we are moving from glory to glory because before he laid the foundations, we were in his mind. From glory to glory, the Lord will reconcile, redeem all of us back to where we belong. To fellowship with him, to sing with him, to dance with him, to serve him forever and ever. Now, excellent name is the foundation of today's sermon. Is it sufficient to have excellent name? What is excellent name? What a name. Oh, this vessel, what a name. That is not excellent name. Now we will dive deep into our pool where we are all swimming, soaking, dipping ourselves, the book of Daniel, to learn, to understand from the life of Daniel. Let's go to Daniel. Now you heard the word excellent name. Let's go to the sermon. Daniel chapter 6 verse 1. Daniel chapter 6 verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes which should be over the whole kingdom. The word whole should remind you all the time Joshua divided the whole land according to the portion that was allocated by God Almighty through Moses to the 12 tribes of Israel. Whole land. The second example, the whole bread that Jesus Christ took, he broke it, gave it to his disciple and told them, this is my body, eat it. Whole body. Now in that whole truth, not less truth, not more truth, whole truth is the type of I am who I am. God Almighty, nothing more, nothing less. Aleph, that's it. No super Aleph, no great Aleph, Aleph. The one, no two in one, no three in one, not even oneness, one. That's it. Truth, nothing but the whole truth, whole. And Jesus Christ is telling all of us as a bread of Christ, do you want to be whole? What does it mean? Why the Lord asks this question whenever he heals us? Are you whole? Do you want to be made whole? Amen? Made whole. And says, the God of Jacob, who formed thee, who made thee, who redeemed thee, who called thee. Four steps. Now, Daniel is witnessing a kingdom change. Last Sunday we ended when the life of Belshazzar ended. That was the end of last Sunday's sermon. Belshazzar chapter closed, Darius chapter begins, because it is a new kingdom. One captivity is completed, the second captivity is starting, and verse 1 says, Darius the Mede, who holds the Persian and Median culture, and he is establishing his own government. Now you should ask, why Daniel is not killed? Because this new king is new. He is not Belshazzar. He is not Nebuchadnezzar. But Daniel is already 87 years old. Because when Belshazzar dies, that is 539 BC, that marks the end of Babylonian kingdom, and that marks the beginning of Persian kingdom. So Daniel was completing 70 years of his life in the captivity of Babylon. He is beginning the first year into Cyrus. But before that, there was a Darius the Mede, which we will study deeply later. But remember, now Darius is the one Daniel is facing after Belshazzar. Now this Darius might have heard about Daniel throughout the kingdom, because Daniel was a famous man. And Darius might have also heard about the interpretation of Daniel to King Belshazzar, crown prince, that your kingdom will fall. On that day, Belshazzar was slain. So, as a new king, you would see Daniel, enemies to enemy, you are my friend. You told the previous king that he will die, he died. Maybe you will be of use to me, because I heard about you. All the kings died, but you stayed alive. There must be a benefit for me to have you on my side. So, Darius is also appointing Daniel. How he appoints? Verse 2. And over these three presidents, who are these three presidents? Why three? Why not four? Why not five? Why three? Why Darius said three presidents? Because before Belshazzar said, Daniel will be the third ruler in the kingdom. Am I right? That's the difference between ruler and president. Because kingdom is changing. Belshazzar said, you will be the third ruler. And Darius says, three presidents are being formed. And he says, Daniel was first. How come Darius had the desire to put Daniel first? And he says, that the princes might give accounts unto them and the king should have no damage. So the purpose was, king wants to make sure that his life is preserved. He had set up wise counselors around him who can predict the war coming, who can find if there is any strategical, lapse or any blind spots. He is building his own wisdom around him, like Nebuchadnezzar. And he set Daniel as the top. Although Daniel is not a Persian or from Median land, but Daniel is from Judah. Now, I want all of us to remember this from chapter 6. Do you see the name Belteshazzar? Why he is called Daniel? Because the word Bel is gone when Babylon is gone. His name was given as Belteshazzar in Babylon. Now, although the land is Babylon, but he is under the ruling of Persians. Cyrus, the great king, took over everything and he is appointing new leaders before he properly established the final government. And now he is called Daniel was first. The princes will give accounts unto them. Previously it was magicians. Am I right? In the last 5 chapters, Daniel was in charge of magicians, astrologers. But now, princes. So there is a strategic shift. A kingdom who believed in magicians, astrologers, now a king who believes in princes. And Daniel is coming. And what happens, verse 3? Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was upon him. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the title of today's sermon. As I write, do you have an excellent spirit now? Excellent spirit. What is this excellent spirit? We just saw in the book of Psalm. Okay, that's an excellent name. Everybody wants to have a good name. That is book of Psalm. And the ministry of Jesus Christ is called. He received an excellent name because there is only one excellent name. And there is only one excellent ministry that belongs to the excellency, the glory of God Almighty. That excellent spirit, that excellent name was upon Daniel. But Darius is not an apostle to discern the spirit of God upon Daniel. All those Babylonian, Persian kings, they were all nothing but people who run after false, fake, fairy tale miracles, interpretations. They worshipped such stupidity. And Daniel was simply deceiving them for 70 years because God has allowed him to do so. If the interpretation of Daniel has some purpose, then why Belshazzar died? If the interpretation of Daniel has some divine purpose, why Nebuchadnezzar was cursed to be a beast for years? Daniel was interpreting so that the power of God manifested in him, so that the lion's den, the burning furnace, whatever the traps all the kings were trying to destroy the children of Judah, they would be untouched, unharmed. God put a fence around them, like how Moses put a fence of Torah, but yet people jumped over the fence. But this fence is God himself, which is the wisdom of God resting upon Daniel. But now the Bible says, excellent spirit. Is it the first time? I don't think so. Daniel chapter 5 verse 3. It should be written before that, because Darius is not someone who invents something new. Babylon might have given everything that is required to keep Daniel in the place where he's supposed to be. Daniel chapter 5 verse 3. Let us hear when they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, my precious dear family of God. What are you visualizing? Some cups, wine cups, some plates. But what God is looking at? Daniel, the golden vessel of God, the vessel of honor, the vessel of love, the vessel of mercy, the vessel of wisdom. Ezekiel, the vessel of honor, vessel of mercy, vessel of love, vessel of wisdom, vessel of truth, vessel of prophecy, vessel of interpretation, vessel of discernment. That is God's vessels. But the king Belshazzar was enjoying the physical appearance of physical inheritance, those, you know, measures, and he used it to drink the wine, which is, in the first chapter, King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to use Daniel as that vessel to drink the wine, which is wisdom for Babylon. But Daniel refused. You can't use me. I belong to God. He said, I won't drink the king's food. I won't. It's a type and shadow. What do you see in Daniel 5:3? It is echoing Daniel himself in chapter 1. Not just him, every single servant of God who were thrown here and there. Moses was born somewhere, thrown somewhere, went through wilderness, died on a mountain. Look at his Moses' life. He died on the normal ground, traveled through a river, crossed the ocean, Red Sea, through the desert wilderness, he was roaming here and there, but he died on the top of the mountain. Why Aaron and Moses, both of them, they died on the top of the mountain? Why not valley? In the wilderness, the mountain always represented the people of Israel. God's glory descent upon there. They used to worship far away from the mountain. They witnessed the Shekinah glory of God covers the Mount Sinai for 6 days. On the seventh day, Moses was called, come. Which is a type of 6,000 years of humankind fighting the battle of flesh and stupidity. And the Lord called all of us, come home, bride, seventh day. The seventh day, the Lord rested. 6 days of creation. The glory of the Lord covered the top of the mountain 6 days, not 7 days. Covering 6 days, seventh day calling. And we are all waiting for that calling to meet him up in the air. Now, the glory of the Lord covers the mountain. Now bring this all the way down to a simple man, Daniel, upon which a small little mountain, the wisdom of God resting upon. But there is no difference in terms of power. There is no difference in terms of spirit, because it is he who is working in Daniel for pleasure. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. It is God who is working in you for his own will and pleasure. Now, Belshazzar wants a golden vessel, silver vessel. But God has already given the golden vessel, silver vessel, his children, in whom you'll fill the spirit to use them for his will. But they were looking at golden vessel, silver vessel of Solomon. Now, chapter 5, verse 14. I have even heard of thee. Now, Belshazzar is speaking because the queen recommended. I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found thee. How do you know? He just looked at the history and just believed whatever was written, whatever was spoken. Excellent spirit, excellent name, excellent wisdom. Amen. But the word excellent is not bound to man. The word excellency is not, doesn't belong to us. Because Book of Psalms says his name is excellent. He's above all. And that name, Jesus Christ received it. The only one who received the excellent name is Jesus Christ, who glorified the will of the Father in heaven. Resurrected, seated on the right hand of the Father. Then he received two things, excellent name, excellent ministry. Because in that name, you and me must be baptized, must be saved. The marriage has to happen in the name of the groom. But Book of Revelation 19:12 says, his name it is written, but no man knew. When my child was born, can a child call me by name? He don't know. But he will make all the sound to get my attention. Those sounds cried, uttered, echoed, called in love is what you see in the scripture. Children of God calling him so many names. My Lord gracious, my Lord merciful, the Lord who sees, the Lord who hears, the Lord who restores. They gave name to testify what the Lord did to them. Those are all like children of God crying to the Lord, expressing their love. But if I am the father of my son, who is just three months, 6 months old, he will give me so many names. Papa, Papa, he will call me so many names. Sometimes he could say some sound. I should know. He is calling me. The mother knows a child can call her name by crying. Mother runs to feed the child. The Bible says children of God cried out to heaven and God heard their cry. Just because the Lord answers us doesn't mean we own him. Doesn't mean we understand him. Doesn't mean we can predict him. Why? That happened from the Old Testament until the New Testament. And the Lord did not stop, did not intervene. He let every tower of Babel to be built to hit the roof of the sky. Then he bring it down. Why? It's a process of gathering. Do you hear me? Imagine when Korah rebelled against the work of the Lord towards the promised land. Why the Lord waited until he assembled 250 elders? Think. How come these 253 escaped when 3,000 were slain when Moses came down? How come they escaped that circumcision? But then they couldn't escape the judgment of God. How come it happened? The Lord, the way he works in all our life, he waits. He waits, he waits, he waits. When the time comes, then he teaches a lesson. The name God, he who waits because he is gracious, in that graciousness, there is one more thing is also growing. Now, remember this in your heart. Belshazzar is trying to use Daniel for his glory. Previously, Belshazzar used the vessels of God for his wine. Two steps. But before Belshazzar wanted to use Daniel, he was slain on the very same day. He didn't see the next day. Am I right? The Bible says, thou rich fool, you may not see another day if the Lord did not allow you to wake up. God can demand your life today. Spoken by Jesus Christ. Now, Daniel, he is a man of fellowship. Behind all the wisdom of God, you can see in chapter 2, he ran to the house of God, ran to the temple of Jerusalem, which is he himself and the fellowship of God. Because the Lord says, I dwell in the midst of my children. Wherever the Lord stands, we say, new city, holy Jerusalem, spiritually. Now, this excellent name, excellent spirit, excellent wisdom. Now Daniel is witnessing this kingdom change. Now, verse 3 says, the king thought to set him, he had a thought, set him over the whole realm, whole realm. Verse 1 says whole kingdom. Now verse 3 says whole realm. He wanted to set him to rule. Now three verses we have read to see the witnessing of kingdom change. Now let us refresh our mind to see where Daniel stands. Please start with chapter, the slide number 1. Last Sunday, I mentioned about the life of Ezekiel, life of Daniel. Both are like a river flowing at the same time. Remember, Ezekiel was in the river of Chebar, somewhere near there, because God told him, go to the plain. And the glory of the Lord gave him an appearance near the river of Chebar. Now, if you look at the positioning of this river, it flows from the bottom of the Persian Gulf and goes all the way up. Babylon is the capital. Ur, the Chaldeans, wherever Daniel was, must be the prominent location of King Babylon, because Daniel was the closest to the king, similar to David to Saul and Joseph to Pharaoh. Amen. Now, Daniel must be the governor, he's in a governing body because he has another name, chief of the magicians. So he must be in the Babylon section, and Chebar River, that is somewhere down or it can be somewhere up. I have put all three pictures. If you look at the green color image, you could see the river Chebar goes all the way top. If you see the big picture, the river Chebar starts below the Babylon. Whatever it is a river. It starts somewhere, ends somewhere, whether it is at the bottom or the front. Let's forget about it. But the river is there. And in between, Euphrates and Tigris. And those two names, it teaches a lot of things from Genesis to book of Jeremiah, even now in the book of Daniel. Now, this is the location of two vessels of God who were alive at the same time. They were performing the work of God with a different, unique purpose from God Almighty. But both the vessels are not the same. Amen. Daniel was not a prophet like Ezekiel. Ezekiel was not an interpreter like Daniel. They were all unique, uniquely made by God. Now, remember this picture. Now, remember, Jerusalem is here. Why I want to show this image? Because we are going to read Jerusalem in the book of Daniel, and you might think, how far is Jerusalem from Babylon? How can Daniel see Jerusalem? It is not possible for him to see. Now, Jerusalem is here, Babylon is here. We remember the Abraham's journey from Ur to the promised land. Now, let's go to the second one, please. Let us only focus on the fourth day, but before that, only remember the words that I'm speaking. Day one, the word was with God, and the word was God. God made everything. 6 days is created, seventh day rested. But in that, within the first 1,000 years, God gave a promise to Adam. Adam, you will be fruitful and multiply, which had a setback when Abel was killed. But the Lord was faithful and Seth was born. So Seth is a promise to Eve that the family will continue. Amen. In the second day, we could remember the promise that God gave to Abraham and the covenant that God made with Abraham. Third day, tabernacle was made by the hands of men, which is Moses, Aaron, people of Israel. But the Lord had no pleasure in the tabernacle that is made by men. But the Lord was teaching them a lesson. He is going to bring it to pass in the New Testament. Tabernacle. Now, fourth day. Here, the son of David, who types our Lord and Savior, who will come and marry the bride. David earned a name, man after my own heart, by God Almighty, because he did the will. Amen. Now from David, if you look at the fall of kingdom one by one, goes all the way to Daniel in yellow color, so that we see where is Daniel is standing. Now Daniel, Ezekiel, I put them next to each other, so that we understand that the river Chebar and Babylon, the Ur, the Chaldeans, they are all nearby and they were alive. Now remember this. Now let's go to the next one. In this, all the kings, today we are going to focus on the king that is missing in this puzzle, which is Darius. So Darius is the one who is dealing with Daniel now. Daniel 6 focuses on Darius, this king. Now, he is going to receive a lesson from God through Daniel. But now, between Jeremiah and Apostle Paul, today we are going to focus on three more names along with Daniel and Jesus Christ. In between there is Zerubbabel. Because Zerubbabel was the one who laid the foundations of the temple. Why? God says to all of us through his word, before he laid the foundations, we were in his mind. Zerubbabel, who laid the foundation for the temple of God. Now remember these two verses. I mean, it's a resonation of agape. Now the next one, from Jeremiah, to Daniel, to Ezekiel, that is where we are standing today. But the moment we start the king of Darius discussion, the name Belteshazzar holds no value. Because Bel is a Babylonian god, and that name was given 70 years captivity. The captivity is over, exile is over, the name of Daniel also over. It remains as Daniel, no more Belteshazzar. So who are the kings in between? From Ezekiel, then great Cyrus, Zerubbabel who laid the foundation, Nehemiah who built the wall. Remember these two people, I have put them like a covering. The one who laid the foundation and the one who repaired the wall. Nehemiah and Zerubbabel. In between, we have familiar names, Ezra, Zechariah, Haggai the prophet, whom we will meditate today, because he spoke about Zerubbabel. Esther, Artaxerxes, he is the one who issued the decree again, which was issued by Cyrus in the first place. In other words, the temple was not completed in a single decree. First attempt, Cyrus, Zerubbabel began. Then there were a lot of obstacles in between. Artaxerxes came, gave the second decree, and Nehemiah completed the wall at the end. So now, let us remember, Daniel means God is my righteous judge. But he was not a man who desired for judgment. Because Daniel, he showed his love, his respect, his honor, because he was there to showcase the Lord's work. Now these names, Malachi is the end of the Old Testament, am I right? Now, Malachi, Haggai, Zerubbabel, we are going to read some verses today. So I wanted to show all of you where they are in the span of time. Now next. Now let's turn our Bibles to chapter 6 again. Now we remember where is Darius, we know where is Zerubbabel, we know where is Haggai, where is Malachi. Now chapter 6 verse 4 to 5. Daniel. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, because the king allocated the whole kingdom to be under the three presidents, and Daniel was to be the first, because Darius called, Daniel should be the first. And because of that, all the princes, they were finding for an occasion. What is occasion? An opportunity. A time. A perfect time, so that they can bring him down and kill him. Which is exactly what happened to Jesus Christ, Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul, every single true servant of God, including Stephen, waiting for an occasion to bring forth the outburst. And that outburst is verse 5. It says, because they could not find none occasion nor fault. Verse 5 says, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Which is very similar to, we could not find a reason to kill the driver, but let's go and check the license book. If there is any thou shalt not, thou shalt, if you can actually accuse him to kill him. That is exactly what happened to all the apostles, all the true kings of God. And Daniel was no exemption, irrespective of his reputation, fame. The moment Babylon time is over, Persian time is on the rise, they wanted to kill him before Daniel becomes predominant, same as in the time of Babylon. Finding a reason, lusting after an occasion to jump. That is, Cain jumped over Abel at the right time when Adam was not with Abel. Serpent was waiting for the right time to jump over Eve when Adam was not with Eve. Am I right? In order for the beast to jump over you and to scratch you and to kill you, you should step one step out of the highway of holiness. Scripture, it is written. Because in the highway of holiness, beast shall not enter therein. Someone deceived Adam, someone deceived Abel, and bring them out of the highway of holiness, that is protection of God, in their love, in their philia, and they were betrayed and Abel was killed. Because Abel thought, my brother, my Cain, my brother, the seed of my mother. And Cain killed him. Now, Daniel, he do not have to worry about the wicked plans and wicked counsel of the wicked princes. Because why? He has one purpose. Set his eyes on the author of salvation. Because the Bible says Daniel looked up to heaven. Because God sent Gabriel to speak to him. God sends Gabriel to speak to Daniel. How can he come down to argue with the princess? So what happens? They were waiting for an occasion, a single chance. That is exactly what happened to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Throughout the 3 years of the Lord's ministry, Pharisees, Sadducees, they were following him. Very close, closer than Apostle Paul. Because Apostle Paul was Saul, somewhere roaming around. But the Pharisees, Sadducees, they were walking with Jesus, witnessed the miracle, saw all the wonderful parables. But for a different reason, finding an occasion to check the rule book. What is the rule book for them? Moses. The rule book is always Moses. Moses, the law of Moses. Let's go and check. There must be a thou shalt not, thou shalt, which is golden calf of your mind. Because the Lord says, I will do a strange work in Mount Perazim. What is Perazim? The place where you are surprised. And now, verse 5 says, his God, because they don't accept Daniel's God as their God, so they said his God. Now, we need to understand why this word excellent is mentioned so precisely. Now, let's go to the scripture, Proverbs chapter 17. Because if there is one who can back up Daniel, it must be Solomon. Because they are from the same spirit of wisdom, discernment, and the Lord's anointing was upon them to perform a task. Chapter 17, verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. Okay? And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So what is the first thing of excellent spirit? Be a man of understanding. Now remember, what is understanding? The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Not understanding the law of Moses, not understanding the books written in the past. The knowledge of the Holy One is what understanding to God. And it says the understanding was linked to excellent spirit. And the word excellent spirit is what you see in the book of Daniel. Now what it says, the same book, 22 verse 1. 22 verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Silver and gold, Belshazzar. So poor what he did. Silver and gold. Nebuchadnezzar, silver and gold. But the true gold that Nebuchadnezzar took was Daniel in the first wave, Ezekiel, second wave. Because Zerubbabel was born in Babylon. He was home ground. He was called sown, the seed, God sown in Babylon. Remember this, God used a child who was born in Babylon to build the temple of Jerusalem. How miraculous it is. Zerubbabel was sent with the task of laying the foundation of the temple of Jerusalem, which was built, is it in Babylon? No. It was built where? In Jerusalem. But Zerubbabel was born in Babylon. Daniel was born in Jerusalem, but sent to Babylon. Zerubbabel was born in Babylon, sent to Jerusalem. And God is telling all of us, hello, you think you are in charge? Who is in charge? The name, the excellent name, the one who has the excellent will, the excellency of God, he is always in charge. That's why Apostle Paul says, I charge thee, brethren, because he knows who is in charge. What is charge? In control. Garden of Eden was in complete control of God. Irrespective of whatever happened, nothing can happen without God's permission. Now, Proverbs talks about good name, not excellent name. Why? Excellent name belongs to who? God is good. We believe in all good things. You be good, do good. But excellency belongs to him. That is what Prince of Tyrus misplaced. I want excellency. I want to sit in the same seat. I want to sit in the same heart of God. I want that. And the Lord says, wow, you are so beautiful in your own beauty. You are so perfect in your own perfection. And the Lord brought the highest cedar down to the ground, that there was no trace of its existence. The spirit of Jezebel fell from the tower, and the flesh was eaten by dogs, not even lions. Why? Lions don't eat the flesh of filthiness. Dogs will eat filthiness. And the Lord taught a lesson. Filthiness will be eaten by filthy beast. Athaliah was slain, but he entered through horse gate, not through golden gate. Because golden gate belongs to the Son of Man. But the adversary will enter through horse gate. What is horse? Beastly nature. Beastly attitude. What happened to King Nebuchadnezzar? The Lord struck him. He became like a beast. The feathers of eagle came from his hair. His nails became claws of bird. He was walking with 4 foot, like a four-legged beast in the forest. And the Lord said, 7 times I will pass over thee, wait. Why 7 times? How many days Miriam was out? 6 or 7? 7 days. How many days the leper has to wait outside? 7 days. That completes God's work. Perfection. Because for us, the 8th day is the Lord himself. The new beginning. Blessed rest. Now, Book of Proverbs talks about the name. Ecclesiastes. Let's continue with the same vessel of wisdom. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 1. What he repeats, the same thing that he said. Chapter 7 verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment. Precious ointment. The only place where it is written with a testimony is where Mary anointed the feet of Christ. The Bible says she broke the alabaster box and the smell of the aroma spread across the room. Amen. That shows the broken heart opened and the Lord smelled the cheerful, free will, the willingness of the servanthood. And the Lord was pleased with such love. And the feet was anointed, not the shoulder, not the head. Because no one is superior than the Lord himself. Hebrews 7:7. But the Lord was baptized by John the Baptist. What does it mean? The Lord has to speak. What he said? There is no man greater than John the Baptist among all the children who is born of a woman. What a precise double-edged sword that we also. Now, good name, excellent name, an ointment. Because the gifts and calling without repentance. That is the message to Prince of Tyrus. Whatever the Lord allowed, all the jewel, the Lord says, I won't remove it, keep it. Because gifts and calling without repentance, but the Lord says it can be misused, abused to profane the name of the Lord, then the Lord will intervene. Now, that's what happened to Lucifer. Now, let's continue. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. Now, let's see what Apostle Paul says as we continue to understand what is excellent spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. It says, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. Yet, I will show you an excellent way. What is this excellent way? From man of understanding, the Lord says, there is an excellent way. Who has another name called the way? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The only one. The one who has an excellent name. And the Lord says, I can show you the excellent way, which is I will show you myself. But those who receive the blessings of the Lord, they also receive all the physical, fairy tale, charismatic gifts, which they abuse, misuse to keep entertaining people. And the Lord says, they will say, Lord, Lord, Lord. What the Lord says? Depart from ye the work of iniquity. Why he said that? He could have simply removed the gifts, but he did not. Cast out the demons, continue. Heal the sick, continue. Prophesy, continue. Interpret, continue. But yet the Lord said, depart ye work of iniquity. Why he said that? Because gifts and calling without repentance. The Lord has no need to take back his word. But it will transform into a way of disobedience. God asked Cain, where is your brother? What was the response? Am I my brother's keeper? Did you create me to just watch over him? The Lord could have struck him on the spot. But if he did that, there is no difference between the God whom we serve and the one who gave his life, Abel. But the Lord says, nobody lay hands on Cain. Let him live. Let him bring forth seeds. No one should touch Cain. That's exactly what happened to David and Saul. Saul was not to be touched by anyone because the first God's anointed king was who? Saul. By who? Prophet Samuel, after a very long wait. And who is Samuel? The burden of Hannah, who cried, who prayed for the work of the Lord to continue. So Samuel represents the work of the Lord, the vessel of prophet, the first prophet the Lord used to anoint kings. First, he anointed two. Why Samuel anointed two? Because it types all the way to first Adam and last Adam. The fall of our flesh and sin and the rise of the bride in spirit. Because it was David, the Lord said, man after my own heart. Why? Because the anointing of the Lord, Samuel thought was Eliashib, Eliab, the first one. But the Lord says, you are crying for Saul. You could not see. Then the Lord used the horn of oil to place upon the last who was not around. Why? That exactly happened to Daniel. All the Nebuchadnezzar, everyone were busy with King Zedekiah, pulling the eyes out, killing people. They could not see the true golden vessel God was hiding, which was Daniel. Which is the same for David, same for Samuel. And same for Jesus Christ himself. Nobody could see him. They were about to stone him to death, isn't it? Stephen stoned him to death. Now, Daniel is the sign of God. What is excellent spirit? And what is excellent wisdom? And what is excellent way? And what is a man of understanding? Man of knowledge is nothing but boasting and pride. But man of understanding is fear of God. What is fear of God? Beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Daniel was a man of fear of God. That is why the Lord preserved him everywhere. Now let's continue as we have meditated on the names and excellency of the Lord's name. Let's continue Daniel chapter 6 verse 4. Verse 4 we have read. Verse 6. These presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. Hold on. He cannot live forever. He will die. What do you mean by live forever? Nebuchadnezzar, live forever. Sorry. He's under the tomb. Belshazzar, live forever. He died. Moses, live forever. Amen to that. Oh, Elijah, live forever. Amen to that. Servants of God cannot die. But the vessel the Lord used will weary and the Lord would just replace it with a glorious flesh. Pharaoh, live forever. They died. What do you mean by live forever? There is only one who can use the word forever and ever. Surely goodness and mercy of the Lord, it follows me, run after me forever and ever. Because he needs to bring me with him, keep me with him. His mercy endureth forever. Which is me having a place to be with him. As a son of Saul and son of Jonathan, if you remember, the lame was given a seat in the table of King David. He was not a soldier. Surely mercy and goodness, it rewrites my life. Now Daniel is facing an adversity. Verse 7 says, they exalted King Darius, that is just to, you know, give him a fruit of pride. Because all the time the magicians, astrologers, they will give a free, you know, like a starter to give some pride. So that the heart is lifted up, then they will slay the beast. Like how Herod was, you know, drunk. The damsel was dancing. In his, you know, moment of stupidity, he gave the command to kill John the Baptist. Enemy knows when to deceive you. And now, verse 7 says, all the presidents of the kingdom, all the governors, all the princes, all the counselors, all the captains, various magicians. Oh, that season is over. The season of magicians over. Because Babylon fell. Now season of princes, captains, governors. That's why you should see the governor of Judah, governor of Jerusalem in the times of Jesus Christ, Herod, Pontius Pilate, all this new government were introduced in the times of Persians, which was adopted by Romans later. Now it says, they said, my king, let us make a royal statue. Royal statue. That was a golden statue for King Nebuchadnezzar. Let's do the same thing to show everyone that you are greater than Nebuchadnezzar. Royal statue. An idol worship. In the wilderness, people ask Aaron, can he please make a golden calf? It's boring. Where is Moses? Simply staying in the mountain for 40 days annual leave? When he will come down? We are boring. Let's make a golden calf. And Aaron, Bible says, he let them be uncovered by themselves. The Bible says the Lord uncovered their nakedness by themselves. Why? Golden calf was not stopped. It was allowed. Now that golden calf, now bring it to royal statue. This royal statue, and to make a firm decree, which means very strict. Strict means strict. If the Lord wants to be strict, my brother and sister, my brethren, my family of God, we are all done. If the Lord decided, I will judge you today, none of us will enter the heaven. The Bible says the reason why we all breathe today is because we are still imperfect in the word of God. We are still imperfect. And there is a perfection to be done. And that, what is pending, is the lifespan of your life. Is what we live. The Lord is perfecting. Until the potter takes the hands from the clay, the vessel is not ready. He's still molding. If he becomes stiff, it is not clay anymore. He will throw it out. Now, the Lord says, in the life of Daniel, he is sending the second phase of adversity, which is through law, rule, rights. Correct? Because the president says, there is no way we can bring down Daniel unless there is a law that can justify us. So what they did, they did not use the law of Moses. You know why? Because they are not children of Judah. They have to create a new law. But how can they create? The kingdom is new. The kingdom of Persia is new. So they have no law. So they have to introduce a new rule. And what is the rule? Let's make a statue first. To build the statue, let's issue a 30 days decree. 1 month time. Let me gather 1 month time. In that 1 month, they were waiting for a single moment where Daniel will fall into the trap. But before they announced the decree, they know Daniel prays 3 times a day. Because he was doing it all his life. Not as a religious person. Remember this, it's a type. Daniel prays 3 times a day. Keep it on the left side. Peter denied Christ 3 times. Keep it on the right side. You know what exactly it means. The Lord wants his children to know how to pray for the spirit, in soul, in body, as a whole. To surrender ourselves to him. Not the religious way of praying. Not the religious way of routine. Not the religious way of timing. Because Holy Spirit is not a slave to men's timing. Now, 3 times Daniel prayed. 3 times Peter denied. Remember this. Because the word 3 times, it needs a whole sermon series. 3 years, 3 days, 3 times. How the scripture calls it. The Lord comes after 3 years whether this fig tree is fruitful. If not, what the Bible says, he cut it off, throw it out. He gave how many years time? 3 years. Now, let us remember this. And let us continue what happens to Daniel. Because the law is set, royal statue is set. Verse 7, the last line says, whosoever shall make a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions, you see. They introduce a new punishment, like crucifixion. Because crucifixion is not the way of Jews. It's Romans. Now Persians, lions. Now king needs to listen to what the people say, right? You could see the struggle of Darius exactly same as Pontius Pilate, who was trying every bit of his power to let the Lord escape. He was trying, asking questions. He really wanted him to escape. That's exactly what Darius did. He really wanted Daniel to escape. But you know what Daniel did? Daniel was inviting it. Come, 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 come. He was inviting it. Not intentionally, not by provoking, but by being steadfast, immovable. Because God is watching Daniel, not Darius. Now, what happens in the next verse? Verse 9, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. He sent it. Verse 10, now. When you say the word now, it means it is immediately. It happens as it is every day of life of Daniel. It says Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He knew what is going to come. He knew how he knew. He went into his house. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is Daniel. It is not just here. Go to chapter 2. Daniel 2. Chapter 16. Let's remember who is Daniel. Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king that interpretation. And verse 6:17. Then Daniel went to his house, where he made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions, fellowship. In the wisdom of God, the wisdom of fellowship is glorified, because God glorifies himself. Now come back to chapter 6. Daniel went to his house, that is chapter 6 verse 10. Now let's remember, this happens when Daniel is around 87, 88 years old. Am I right? Because Daniel continued up to 3 years of the king of Cyrus ruling. Now, who will have the violent attitude to throw an 87-year-old man into a lion's den in the name of rule book? Violated the law. In the times of Jesus Christ, the Lord gave a name to Pharisees, Sadducees, those who worship the law. But they totally forgot the life behind the law. And Daniel is going to be attacked in the same method. And the Bible says, he opened his windows, being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt. My precious dear family of God, where is Daniel? He toward Jerusalem. So something happened. We remember the exile. We remember where is Daniel. He opened the windows. He prayed toward Jerusalem. So the man who was in Babylon, 70 years of captivity, the Lord says to Jeremiah, to all the kings, you will not return to Judah until you complete 70 years of captivity. There is an exile later. Now Daniel opened the window, prayed toward Jerusalem, so that it is, there is a proof. Imagine all the presidents, princes, they have a phone. They would just hide somewhere in the forest, they'll take a photo and video of Daniel, for example. So that we understand how desperate they were to kill him. They were taking notes, listening to whatever that he said, taking all the capturing, everything, every moment, to file a complaint to King Darius. Because King Darius is not King David. King Darius worships some other god, like Prince of Tyre, what we saw in the last Sunday. Now, they got the proof. Now they go back to Darius and they say, then this man assembled. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you see the gathering here? The Lord waited for Korah, Datham, Abiram to bring all the 253 so that they can make his job easier. One single earthquake done. One single fire done. God has no business doing again and again and again. That's why the weeds and the tares grow together. The Lord judges once, but we are judged every single day by the word of God. Because the prophecy of God is progressive. Amen? Whatever Hezekiah said, it is progressing. Daniel said progressing. Because the word of the Lord is life. Heavens and earth shall disappear, but the word of the Lord will be standing, enduring forever and ever. Now, the knees shows how humble Daniel was. How humble this man was. So another understanding how humble he is. Humbled to the ground. Because that's the attitude of Jacob, who bowed before his brother, who was about to kill him, he thought. Jesus Christ removed his garment, take a shovel, knelt and washed the feet of the disciple, who? Lord of lords, King of kings, Savior, Redeemer, a complete manifestation of God's word, the high priest, the one who is wiser than Solomon, knelt and washed the feet of the disciples. A true servant. And that servanthood, you can see in the life of a 87-year-old man, Daniel, opening the window, knelt down and prayed toward Jerusalem. And that's enough for them to throw him in the lion's den. But what they did not know, Daniel himself is a lion. from which tribe Daniel was? How can the lions can attack a lion? An elect will never persecute an elect. A lion that belongs to God will not kill the lion that belongs to God. Because the bride of Christ is the wife of the Lamb. Amen? Now the Bible says Daniel is from the tribe of Judah, which is the Lion of Judah. Who is the lion, the lamb, the light of the city? And it says in verse 13, they complain everything. And verse 13, they say a word, which is in verse 12. Just look at the last line. It says, which altereth not. Look at the last word. It says, whatever you promise, you should not change. My king Darius, altereth not. Hello? The word altereth not, it is change not. The word change not, it belongs to God Almighty. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was, he is to come. The omnipresent, the omnipotent. But they say, king, you should not change, my king. Altereth not. Law should not change. That's why they killed Jesus. The law of Romans. Kill him. Now, the law of Persians, Medes, kill Daniel. Now, look at the verse 14. The king who heard these words, verse 14, was sore displeased with himself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He was not wroth or angry. He was displeased in himself. That's a big difference between this and Belshazzar, who was angry. Nebuchadnezzar was angry, but King Darius was displeased in himself. Why? Oh my Daniel, why? What he says? His heart set on Daniel to deliver him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Who? King Darius set his heart to deliver Daniel. Now, he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. He tried his everything. He tried his best in his power, in his the legal boundaries. He tried everything, like Pontius Pilate. He tried everything, absolutely everything. But Daniel stopped not praying. Do you know what will happen when a child of God pray in spirit? Not by script. People read script. That is not prayer. Spirit. We do not know what to pray. We do not know how to pray. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit to pray for the words of God to utter in life, in power of the Lord's anointing. And he didn't stop it. And what happened because of that? Verse 15, that these men assembled unto the king, said unto the king, no, O king, that the law of Medes, remember law of Moses, it's another mockery here. Law of Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Don't change king, don't give up. Don't change king, kill him. Herod, John the Baptist's head must be taken because he said so. Hey, I was drunk yesterday. No, you said so. That's it, done. Damsel danced, John the Baptist was killed. Who was behind that? Herodias. Now, the spirit that the Lord wants all of us to embrace is the spirit of Christ, the anointing of God, which was given to all of us by the power of his resurrection, the promise of Holy Ghost, Comforter. But here, for them, Daniel means it's a tabernacle of multiple spirits, because he was a host of holy gods. Many gods were in him. So now, Darius wants to see whether can he help him, because he needs the wise man. He likes him. He received a favor, like Joseph, who found favor from the king Pharaoh. Daniel found favor from everyone, because God worked from the head, not from the tail. What happens next? Verse 16. The king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, blessed be the name of the Lord, continually steadfast, the flame in the temple of the Lord told Aaron, ensure it burns continually the day it was put up. I will inquire thee. And the Bible says, the Lord was with Daniel continually. And Darius said, I believe your God will deliver you, thy God. Now, it is not a mockery. I'll tell you why. Let's turn your scriptures to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Let's read from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's look at the wisdom of the one whom you serve. Chapter 4, verse 6. Gospel of Matthew. It says, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, whom? Who is speaking? The adversity. And the Lord speaks and answers, thou shall not tempt the Lord thy God. And the Lord starts by saying, it is written. Every time the Lord says it is written, it is something absolutely serious. Don't tempt me. For the Lord is not a man to tempt. Who tempts? The one who tempts is not holy. Now the Lord says, don't come and tell me, my God will deliver me. Don't tempt my God. Did he repeat this? Yes. Chapter 27, same gospel, verse 40. 27, verse 40. This is when they were passing by him, reviling him, mocking him, insulting him. He says, verse 40, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. Hey, you tell the Lord who's told you know thyself. You tell the Lord who told you deny thyself. You tell the Lord who told you lose thyself. And they told the Lord, save thyself. Who? To the Savior, people say, save thyself. Because we are your Savior. Remember, in the times of wilderness, the oxen was carrying the ark. When the oxen stumbled, Uzzah thought, I'm the Savior. I must go and save this fall. So Uzzah lived forever and ever. What happened after that? Not the next chapter. What happened in the moment? The Bible says the Lord struck Uzzah. Now tell me, the righteous hand of the Father in heaven, can he kill righteous child of God? Anywhere in the scripture? Uzzah. Remember the two names? The king who got leprous, the servant was killed. Uriah was killed by the cunningness of Joab and David, not by God, because Uriah was righteous. Abel was killed by the cunningness of Cain, not by God. Moses died. Joshua died. But when they died, the Bible says, Joshua, servant of the Lord. Moses, servant of the Lord. Because the Lord said, I am with you. Joshua died. But the child of God was killed by the disobedient wickedness of the enmity. Jesus, Stephen, Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul, every one of them. Because God would not kill his very own children, but he took his hands off. Which is what Jesus said, my God, why thou hast forsaken me? And there was silence. The silence means he knows what to do. Job was suffering and the Lord maintained silence. It means, I know what to do. Book of Jeremiah says, I know the plans for you. Good plans, not evil plans. I know. Because you are fearfully, wonderfully made by him. He will take care of you. Every time you are troubled in your life, in your workplace, tell yourself, I'm a child of God. God is with me. And God is in me. And God is in complete control of my life and the family of God whom I love in Christ. Because he is the shepherd. There is only one good shepherd. Amen. Now, the Bible says in the gospel when he was mocked, the verse says, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Look at the temptation.
He was supposed to be crucified on the cross so that all of us will be crucified with him by the power of the Lord's promise, the Comforter. But the adversity says, come down. Come from the cross. So what is the intent of adversity? To bring you out of the service to God. What is the intent of the evil thoughts? To bring you, to take you one step away from the work of God. Come down from the cross. But the Lord says, take up thy cross. Don't you dare to put it down. Did he say that? You follow me? You love me? Don't make a show. Take up thy cross. Deny thyself. Follow me. Then I trust you. Because we are not God to give a promise to fulfill. We are people in flesh to show the Lord. Amen? Now, Jesus Christ showed this. Now let's come to verse 17 in the book of Daniel. Daniel 6 verse 17. A stone was brought, not multiple stones, a stone. Like how Lazarus was sealed by a stone. And the Lord comes and said, take that stone away. Something like a stone. Because the den, it's like a cave. It says, and laid upon the mouth of the den, the king sealed it with his own signet. What is signet? A chop, a seal. What is a seal? Why this verse has to cover everything? Den, a stone, a signet, a king, a vessel of God inside the den. What it says? With the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Why? Because the presidents and the princes thought they could see the love for Daniel from King Darius. Said, there is a chance this king may change the mind. Let's get him sealed, signed, that he won't change the mind. Because the law of Persian changeth not. The ruling decision, decree by Darius should not be changed. They got it written. They put the seal on the stone. Signet, stone. Signet, stone. Signet of the king, signet of the Lord. Why? There are two, or is it the same? The foundation upon which you and me are planted. How many foundations? You would say seven foundations because seven messengers. That's what Peter thought. Lord Jesus, fantastic event. Light, transformation was very too bright. Can you reduce the brightness? Can't see it, man. Then he said, can I make three tabernacles? I'm very smart, you know. Peter was always trying to be super smart. Just hold on, I'll make three tabernacles. For what? One for Elias, okay? One for Moses, okay? One for you, three. Because Peter is a man of righteousness. I'm very equal. Lord, I also put you down on par with Moses and Elias. Peter, that's why he denied Christ three times. Three tabernacles? Three tabernacles? For what? Soul, spirit, body, overconfidence, assertiveness. Deny me three times. And he did. Until he reached the step to repentance. There is no Apostle Peter. Three tabernacles he wanted to make. That is what we mentioned 2 Sundays ago. In the altar of God, in the Old Testament, don't you dare to grow any other tree. If the Lord see another tree from the right or the left, other than the tree of life, the axe of God will come. It is called the double-edged sword of God. He will cut it off because in the presence of God, there are only two allowed. The two anointed olive trees, which is representing Gabriel and Michael. In the book of Acts, do you remember there was a servant who thought he is also an anointed servant. He went and cast out demons because people were exalting him. And the demons came back. What it said? Who are you? I know Jesus. I know Paul. But who are you? Was he mocking or really questioning? Who are you? Why? Because the Lord says, do not think of yourself highly more than who you are. When you do that, there is a new tree grown next to the altar, which is a pillar of fire. Because Lucifer was walking on the stones of fire. But the Lord will destroy the dead in the lake of fire. A new tree, other than the tree of life. That is the shame abomination of tree of knowledge of good and evil in the Old Testament. in the book of Genesis. Now keep this in your mind. Now continue. Signet ring. Verse 19. The king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions because he really wanted to see what happened to this man. He didn't sleep properly. He went. Verse 20. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, Oh Daniel, servant of the living God, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord used beast to glorify his name. We think we are special. The servant of God lit the fire on the tail of 300 foxes which destroyed the fields of the enemy. We think, Lord, let me just send me alone. I will go and destroy all the fields. You will be burned along with the test. He used foxes to do the work. He used lions to glorify his son. He used Balaam to see even a donkey can speak. Now, the Bible says, the next verse, he says, The living God is your God, whom thou servest continuously. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is this continuously? Not to boast. Serve. Serve. What is serve? We must obtain the grace to serve the Lord. Because service to God is the fruit of grace of God that is upon thee. Daniel received grace. I told you, you could see him buying time, getting time, receiving time. He's a man of time. Because God told him, consider the vision. It is for many days. Teach us to number our days. Now, what is den? What is this lion's den? The scripture must teach to us. It is. Because the word of God is absolutely sufficient. Turn your scriptures to Matthew 21 verse 12. The reason why I showed the maps, characters and the names is because we are going to see them in the scripture today. Matthew 21 verse 12. Matthew 21 verse 12. Jesus went into the temple of God. Jesus went into the temple of God. He is the word of God. He went into the temple of God for those people. My brethren, those people, they are worshipping the dead bricks in the temple. And they could not see the Prince of Life who was with them. The chief cornerstone was speaking. But they were busy in the law of Moses. And he went into the temple of God, which is very similar to the word was with God and the word was God in the golden temple in the days to come. The Bible says through the eastern golden gate the king will enter. Amen. The Son of God will enter through that eastern gate. Now remember this. Let's continue. When he went inside, he cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is selling? What is buying? The temple of the Lord is the presence of God where there is soaking of God's children in his presence of anointing, like how Joshua departed not from the tabernacle. That is the truth. We depart not from the truth, whole truth. But people used it to make reputation, money by selling and buying. Selling reputation, buying reputation. If you see the world today, if you give money to someone, if you say amen, they will say, wow, what an anointed prayer, man. Hallelujah. I'm healed now. From what? I don't know, forgot. People exalt people for the love of money, for the love of reputation, without absolutely no anointing. Scribes have become the apostles. Haven't you seen? People read what was written by a man, not spoken by the Son of Man. How it allowed? Because there are trees grown next to the altar. And Joshua said, Moses said, don't do it. Anything we say, we do, we speak, it has to be led by the anointing of the Lord Almighty. There's a term called unction. Do you remember the word? What is unction? Not auction that people do today. If you support me, I support you. If you work for me, I will serve you. If not, forget about it. What is unction? Unction is not auction. Unction is the anointing that was placed with a purpose, and that purpose is divine, is holy. And that was upon Daniel. Now, The presidents, the princes wanted to remove the purpose, but they don't know the God of Daniel. Now, lion's den and Daniel. What is lion's den? What is lion's den? What is den? We know lion. But what is den? What is lion's den? The Lord will speak to us. Let's continue. Jesus Christ is speaking because he's chasing the merchants out. Because selling thoughts, buying thoughts, selling opinions, buying opinions, that is unholy, that is not according to the will and pleasure of the Holy One. And the Lord says, money changers. I have Singapore dollar. Can I change to US dollar? I can do that. I have some groups in US. I have Indian rupee. Can I change to some Malaysian rupee? I can do that. People are expanding with their influences. And what is influences? Changing reputation from one side to another. This is absolutely against what Apostle Paul did. Do you remember? The Bible says Apostle Paul was making tents. What? Selling tents. What? You mean the first messenger of the church age, the mighty apostle of God? Hold on. He was a poor man, simple, running here and there, selling tents to make a living. Why? He was not a rich apostle. He was not a mighty apostle. He was not a powerful apostle. He was a humble, humble, truthful servant of God. And the Lord told him, you make a living by doing some work. Lest everyone say, I exalted you as a king. What a life. Do you really think God had a different reason to compile the entire scripture before 380? Do you really think? Why the Bible was compiled? Around 300 to 480, the Bible was compiled, right? KJV, NKJV, NLT. We have so many versions. People also remove books, add books. Forget about them. But the actual compilation of scripture, the Lord allowed to be compiled. Why he did not compile in second church age? Why not in third church age? Why not in fourth church age? And the book of Revelation says, don't you dare to add anything beyond this. And don't you remove anything beyond this. You know why? The Bible was complete when John received the apostle, when John received the revelation of Jesus Christ. When the Bible received the book of Revelation as the last chapter, the Lord says, seal it now. It was John the apostle who was supposed to complete the scripture. He was 90 years old. Amen? That was the last book the Lord wanted to be compiled. The Lord says, no more. No other name, no more. Because everyone who served me truly, they will speak from here. Whatever they do, you will see here. Like the one we had by the grace and mercy of God, who lived and died, never made a name for himself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But the rest, you want to use my doctrine? Quote my name, La. Just quote my name. You want membership cut? If you quote $1,000 per month. My brethren, do you think the Lord is allowing all of this to grow? Why is not stopping? Because we are in the same state of Pharisees, Sadducees, Jews in the times of Romans when Jesus Christ came. First coming. Now we are in the same pattern. What happened to Jews is happening to Gentiles. And he is coming for the marriage of the Lamb. That time it was the law of Moses. This time, book of seven messengers. Revelation after revelation after revelation goes on. We have become, put a new fence called, like the Torah, like we have our own Torah. And the Lord says, oh, so confident, huh? Good. When he comes, he is going to surprise every one of us. Are we really the wise virgins? Trim the lamp with the double-edged sword of the word of God. Fill the lamp with the oil of God's anointing. Without any presumption, premeditation, waiting for the Lord, instant leading. Apostle Paul said, right, do not think what you should speak. It shall be given to you on the spot, at the time, by the leading of the Spirit. Unction, anointing. Premeditation is a rebellion against God Almighty. Why? It tells the Lord, I know you are Spirit, but can I bring some people to the mountain? Let's have a discussion, prepare it together. And the Lord says, Moses, my son, alone come to the mountain. If he brings everyone, the Lord burns everyone, including Moses, isn't it? But that is what denominations do. They study the people trends. They prepare the sermon that goes with the trend. Do you know that? They have an IT wing, marketing team. If you don't know that, it's okay. Just leave it. It doesn't profit anyway. The Spirit of God is focusing on the new mercies that the bride should receive every day. Not the manna of yesterday. That is the frozen food from the fridge. And that fridge is death. And the Lord says, I can give you fresh. Lord, you are busy. Let me freeze the food. Those who listen to tape, wake up. Don't die in the fridge. Come out. The one who made you is able to shower the Spirit of God from the clouds of His love with a fresh manna every day. The Lord is not a man to be weaker. He is a creator. He is the strength. And now what it says, the Lord gives a name to them. Verse 13. Verse 13. And He said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. House of prayer? I thought it's house of sermon. Oh, brother, get out of the church, man. House of prayer, house of sermon. House of prayer. What is prayer? Do you know what I do now? It is prayer. What you do now? It is prayer. What is prayer? Lord, speak to us. Help us to listen. Bless us to be soaked in the anointing. Reach out to us, O Lord, with a mighty divine anointing. Lord, what is prayer? Prayer is supplication, speaking to the Lord as a children of God. And Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, but they don't know that he's a man of prayer. He entered into the lion's den. There was no record what he did, whatever that he said, no record, because no need. Why? The Bible says the Lord glorifies at the end, not in between. The glory of God's work will manifest at the end. You sow a seed. You can't say, I want to harvest the same day. You can be there. The Lord says, in His time. Now, lion's den. The Lord says, den of thieves. Isn't it? He says, the house of prayer, you made it as a den of thieves. What is thief? Stealing. Tobiah stole. Shemaiah fell. King of Babylon made Hezekiah to fall. Because Hezekiah shared everything to King of Babylon. Even King Saul was wise not to share his complete revelation to those who asked him, right? When the Lord called him to be a king, he didn't share everything. He was wise. But when the Lord wisdom separated, he was asking for the prophets of other gods. Now, Jesus said, den of thieves. Then we have to go and ask the son of David. Let's turn the scripture to Psalm chapter 10 verse 9. Psalm 10 verse 9. Psalm chapter 10 verse 9. It says, he lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. Hallelujah. But he is not a lion. It is a type of Antichrist who is also promoting himself as the righteous anointed Christ, but it is not Jesus Christ. And says the enemy roam here and there like a ravening lion, but it is a ravening wolf, looks like a lion in the dark. But the Bible says, he lieth in wait to catch the poor, who are poor in wisdom, poor in God's revelation, poor in God's anointing, poor in the truth, poor in the knowledge of the Holy One, he catcheth them. And what happens? He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He that said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. This is the beast pointed to a lion in the den. Like a lion in the den. Am I right? Now, let's continue. Amos chapter 3 verse 4. Amos chapter 3 verse 4. Amos chapter 3 verse 4. Verse 4. Yea. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? So, whatever is in the den is trained by hunger. What is hunger? If you don't feed the lion, it will be in aggressive state. Whatever you throw, it will kill. You have seen a lot of cases, even those who train the lion, they were killed by their very own, you know, pet because of some aggressive attitude. And it says the young lion will have the aggressiveness because it was not content with what it received. That lion is okay because there is a lion of the den. But what about us? Who are you and me? The lion of whom we serve? The lion of Judah. But the Lord said, my grace is sufficient to thee. Are we content in his grace? Are we content in his mercy? Are we content in his love? Are we content in his truth? Are we content in his perfect will? Are we content in his charge? Because he is the Father in heaven. And the Lord says, but the beast will never ever feel content. That is lust of the flesh. The Bible says that lust will not settle until it is burnt with fire. He said that, right? He said that. The lust cannot be content, cannot be satisfied with not without fire. It has to be burned completely with fire. What does it mean? The book of Revelation says, they that disobeyed the Lord, they were filled with the heart with pride. The Lord was sending the bowels of wrath. The Bible says, they repented not. Why? For them, that pride was more precious than their life. That precious anointing, what the book of Proverbs says. And the Bible says, they were gnashing their teeth, no, with so much anger, and they repented not. Why? I am okay to give my life, but not my pride. That is why the very first disobedient that pushed Lucifer from heaven, pride. The very first disobedience that was committed in the entire scripture that we all learned, starts with pride. And the Lord wants all of us to be the bride, not the pride. Now, why Daniel has to teach every one of us how the Lord works in him. It was not Daniel. The Bible says it was God who is working in you for his will and pleasure. As long as you are a tabernacle in which the glory of God is there. If not, I will be filled with the glory of my own name. Hey, my name is also excellent, right? This misplacing is what misplacing discernment in God's righteousness to discernment in men's righteousness. Then this is death, this is life, this is salvation, this is damnation. Now let's look at the verse. Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 11. Because we cannot forget the weeping prophet who tithes Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had 40 years of Garden of Gethsemane running here and there. Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 11. It says, in this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes. Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. Verse 11, saith the Lord, I have seen it. So can I bring another verse 11 to agree this together? That is chapter 9. Let's go from 7:11 to 9:11. 7 is perfection, 9 is penalty, 11 remains the imperfection. And Judas betrayed Christ. There were 11 disciples left, isn't it? Just an inspiration. Now read 11, verse 11. It says, and I will make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons, and I will make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jeremiah 7:11, den of thieves. Jeremiah 9:11, den of dragons. Now where is Daniel in between? Den of lions, thank God. Dragons were so big. Den of thieves, den of dragons. What it represents? The thieves who serve the thief. Dragons who serve that old serpent. The old serpent, the dragon. Den. And David says, chapter 1, the very first beginning, opening remark of book of Psalm. Blessed is he who walketh not in the counsel of ungodly. And blessed is he who sitteth not in the seats of scornful. Den of dragons, den of thieves. Don't sit. The Lord tells all of us, I will guide where your feet should be. You say shalom. The shalom will rest. If it does not rest, come, shake off your dust from your feet and come back to me. Why? The word of God will never ever return to him in vanity. The Lord says, you are the part of my word. Come back to me. God tells Moses, go down, come back to me. And the Lord tells all of us, you are in my mind. You went down, come back to me. That rebound, that reconciliation, that redemption, no one can stop it. Because Jesus said, it is finished. Because he said, it is finished. Because he said, it is finished. It should be etched in your mind. None of us are the savior of someone. The Bible says, the Lord who called himself, I am the Lord, the only savior, I will not yield my glory to anyone. I will not yield my glory to anyone. Book of Isaiah. And the Lord says, he is absolute. And he says, it is finished. Not, it will be finished. As if we are absolute, indispensable to his sight to finish the work. The Lord says, hello, it is finished. What we are all going through is a finished work of the Lord. What he did on the cross of Calvary, it is done. But you and me are bound to time. Past tense, present tense, future tense. So don't be tensed. The Lord has no time. He is in eternity. And he tells all of us, it is well, we have good cheer. I have overcome all. We live in that assurance. Amen. Not in the panicking of, I want to save this country, that country, there. The Lord says, hello, 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 come on. We are the sheep of the Lord, hiding behind the shepherd, who has a name, Joshua, who has never lost a battle. The Old Testament always called Joshua, Joshua, son of Nun, because his name is Jehoshua, which is also same as the name of Jesus Christ. Jehoshua, to have a distinction, the name was mentioned as Hebrew and the Aramaic. Now, let us read the next verse. Jeremiah we have read. Let's go to Jonah chapter 4. As we close, Jonah chapter 4. The book of Jonah, as we all know, it ends with a question. The question that we all answer through the life of Christ today. Because God asked a question, there was no answer. Chapter 4, verse 9. And God said unto Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the God? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Verse 10. That said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the God, for the which thou hast not labored, neither manifest in growth, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Verse 11. Should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 6,000 persons that cannot discern between the right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. If you look at the discussion, the Lord used the number 6,000 to Jonah, and he used the number 7,000 to prophet Elijah. Isn't it? And those 7,000 were burnt in the book of Revelation. And this 6,000, the Lord speaks to Jonah, they do not discern between right and left. I am with my children, and he has warned this before in verse 8. Now you bring the word beast, because we talk about lion's den. Chapter 3, verse 8. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God, yea. And let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands, the Lord commanded. Look at the next two verses. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger that perish not, altereth not, changeth not. King Darius put a seal, signet, don't change. And the Lord says, perish not. Look at the next verse, how beautiful the Lord whom we serve. And God saw their works, that they returned from the evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did not. That's it, Jonah fell. You, what about my face? I said so many things, counting on you. And now you change your word. God did not change the word. He said, if they repented not. But the presumptuous sin was committed. In the presumptuous sin, that vessel fell. And the Lord asked a question. Are you the creator? Who made who? Who planned who? Who watered who? And that question was not given a chance to answer. Because Haggai, it covers that so beautifully to bring Zerubbabel into this picture, which is the promise of God in all our life. Let's all turn the Bible to Haggai. Haggai chapter 2, I believe. Yes, it's 2. Haggai chapter 2. And Brother Clement, read. I'll just drink the water. Haggai chapter 2, verse 20. Verse 20, the last three verses here. 20 to 23. Haggai chapter 2. Yes.
And again the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heaven and earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts.
Signet ring. Remember the word signet ring in the King Darius that he put on the rock? And now God is speaking to Zerubbabel, his vessel. I have chosen, thou art my signet ring, the type Jesus Christ, for all of us, who is our Savior, the one who promised that I will rebuild the temple in 3 days, for which he was crucified for. Amen? But before he said the house was made into a den of thieves. Now we remember where is Daniel? In the midst of beasts, in the den that was sealed, like Lazarus, dead inside the tomb. Now Jesus Christ has to come and tell them to open the stone and Lazarus come out. Amen? You see how Daniel was saved. Let's all raise as we close the sermon today. Daniel 6, last verse. Daniel 6, verse 21. Now King Darius is asking a question. How did you escape? Verse 21. Let's all read together. It is the promise of God for all of us. Verse 21, chapter 6. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Verse 23. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, we are all healed by thy stripes, by thy wounds. You shed thy blood on Calvary. You showed what it is, the true love, to what extent you will go for all of us. In your death, we are all alive. In your shame, you bless all of us to receive the blessedness, the grace to serve you, to bear the reproach outside the camp. And Lord, we are healed by your divine touch. Because, O Lord, you sent help. And the Bible says, God of Jacob is our help. And you are the Lord who is our present help in need. Blessed be your holy name, O Lord. We thank you for all the wonderful things you have done in your life. Thank you, Lord, for the love, the truth, the spirit, the anointing, which is all that we need in this world. The Bible says we have nothing, but we possess all things. And you are our everything, and you are our all things. Yea, the deep things of God. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. For you are our life, you are our strength. We thank you, Lord, for all things. God is good. We love you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.